Pat, I know you're a popular person, but boy, you are going to be the talking point of a party next time you walk in.
Right. I just want to know, is tequila on the list or off the list?
No, tequila is certainly not on the list. Pat, there's a trend here. Every episode brings up alcohol.
I know. Oh my gosh, I am in such trouble.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. Let's just admit it. Months of quarantine had us reaching for fatty foods and perhaps more alcohol. It's time to press reset and reverse the damage the last 5 months has caused to our bodies. Last episode, we shared safe and simple ways to detox. Now, another method to help your gut, increase your energy, and even improve your mood. Pat, we talk a lot about toxins in the body and ways to detox. What do you see in your practice with patients who come to you?
Well, I think the difficult part is going down to the root cause of why people are ill and developing a plan that allows us to create the healthy terrain to fend off what is an escalation of environmental factors. And that's the difficult part, and educating people at the same time.
You talk about the healthy terrain. I just see this desert that we're all trying to figure out our bodies and detox. And somebody who really knows this issue well is Tom Moltaire. He's co-founder of a group called Whole Life Nutrition, based in Bellingham, Washington, and also co-author of 3 books on functional medicine. Hi, Tom.
Hi. So nice to be with you all.
Likewise. Tom, you hear Pat talk about this terrain that we're all trying to navigate.
Pat, that's so dead on. It's so sharp. I love it. So you're thinking about the land, the place in which we are living on. And I would include upon that also the sun. I would include the air. I would include the water and the land itself. And I would say, all right, are we getting all the elements that are necessary for life these days? Because without air, you give us 3 minutes and we're bankrupt. Without water, give us 3 days and we're bankrupt. If you give us no food for over 3 weeks, then we expire, right? So the true currencies in life are really air, water, food, and of course, love and connection that we see in the literature, and in real life, we feel that. But without these things, right, we can't thrive. We can't have optimal function. We can't have cells that work. So we say, well, gosh, what is our air like these days? What is our water like these days? What is our terrain like? What is our land like that we're growing our food in? Is it pristine? Is it pure? Are we getting all the minerals and elements we possibly could? Or have we turned the landscape into an industrial experiment where we're selling millions of pounds of chemicals every single year to manufacture everything in our lives, whether it's our computers or our building materials or whether it's our food? We're manipulating nature and making these synthetic compounds to market, to profit from. So a lot of our GDP, about around 15%, comes from building supplies. A lot comes from biotechnological weaponry. A lot of it comes from agricultural farming, pesticide use. A lot of it comes from pharmaceuticals themselves, and pharmaceuticals come out in our wastewater and in our air. So, gosh, we're surrounded by all these chemicals all the time. And if you look, there was an article in 2011 in the American Academy of Pediatrics that said, hey guys, we should really be conscious of the fact that we're exposed now to 74 billion pounds of chemicals that are imported or produced in the United States every single day. 74 billion pounds. Those are 2010 numbers. And at that time, it was 250 pounds per person per day that we're getting exposed to in the United States. So that's a lot. That's a shocker, isn't it?
That is a shocker. Let me bring Leslie in. Leslie, you've been passionate about chemicals like glyphosate and really are sounding the alarm that communities need to take action and laws need to be put into effect to ban chemicals like glyphosate, the weed killer. What do you tell your patients about the chemicals and the toxins that are in their body?
Two things come to mind, and I always tell patients this. There's two sides to the equation. One side is reduce as much as possible the toxins that you are exposed to daily. and Tom outlined the different ways through our water, through our air, through the materials we have in our home. So the first step is understanding what's in your home environment and what you're exposed to every day, and then understanding what steps you can take to reduce it. So I always tell our patients that's one side of the equation. The second side of the equation is what you can do in your own body to upregulate or increase your body's natural ability to detoxify. Because I think we take for granted that our body is naturally detoxifying all the time through our liver, through our kidneys, through our gut, through our skin, through our lymph system. So our body is equipped to detoxify. So how can we, one, reduce the amount of exposure that we are bringing into our body, and two, how can we increase our body's own natural mechanisms to detoxify?
Tom, you and Allie wrote the book, The Elimination Diet, and it's a support program, and it helps both functional medicine practitioners and others determine which foods they should eat and what they should avoid. Can you be specific of what the Elimination Diet does?
Absolutely. I wish I could have named it the Illumination Diet. So you can illuminate which foods turn your body into a very efficient and calm powerhouse. Basically, what we're doing, we're just trying to find out what your body thrives on. And I have, over now 15 years in clinical practice and thousands upon thousands of clients throughout the globe, found that there are certain foods that trigger people's immune systems more than others. All we do is we prep you to survive a 28-day period of time in eating wonderful, delicious foods that make you feel fabulous. And then at the end of that time, you start adding back in different foods, slowly and surely, one by one, and seeing if any of them bring back your symptoms. If they bring back your symptoms, you take those foods out, you leave them out until your body is calm, and then you can rechallenge them. So basically, it's just an experiment. You're trying to find out which foods work best for you. Now, we know you can't feed your dog chocolate or grapes, for example, because their chemistry doesn't line up with it. Well, we're all a mix of genetics from all sorts of different nationalities, and we assume that we can eat the chemicals in foods just fine, but we can't.
One day I was at the garden store, and I'm looking around, and everyone had their trolleys stacked to the top with supplements for the garden. Phosphorus, you know, nitrogen, pH balance, azomite, you know, charcoal, all of this. And I'm saying, boy, and this is what I say to patients, you're going to take care of your garden. Now you have to take care of yourself as much as you take care of the tomato plant, because you certainly wouldn't put the tomato plant out in the gravel. You make a nice bed for it to stay in, and you give it water and sun. So, Tom, my other thing is, what do you think about there are a number of companies that offer food inflammatory tests?
The challenge with using a lab to do that is the lab is only looking for one marker or two markers, or maybe three if you're doing the Dunwoody lab. It adds in complement proteins. But it's not enough for you to pick up intolerances. It's not enough for you to pick up little nuances that are not marked on that lab. So I hesitate with the labs. I use them after I do the elimination diet. So I do the elimination diet first and see what the results are from that. If they don't get the desired results, then we run the lab to see if we missed anything.
The only thing I've seen that's been helpful is for people to write down what they eat for 7 days, and that'll give me enough information over a month. One of the biggest challenges with the next generation, they buy lunch out every day.
That is a big challenge. And here's what I've seen, and this is going to seem neurotic to a lot of the people out there that this is their first exposure, but eating out is darn near impossible. You need to find a facility that doesn't use anything in their fryers, for example, that might have wheat or gluten or dairy in it, because the proteins will get in the fry oil. So if they're making, for example, tostadas and they're using a wheat shell and then they cook you some French fries, then you might be getting some of that wheat in there. Or if it's a cooking surface, you go to a grill, for example, and they're grilling something on there, it's a grilled cheese sandwich, and then they pull over your vegetables or your steak or whatever it is, hello, you just got some of that crumb on there. And to be honest with you, at first, when I got into clinical practice, I was like, oh man, these people who say they're gluten-free and dairy-free and whatever, they're so neurotic, like they're just over the top. They want to avoid everything. But what I've seen in clinical practice, honestly, right in front of my eyes, is that people are that sensitive. They can't tolerate the extra little stuff on the cooking surface. They can't tolerate sharing a glass with somebody who's, you know, drinking some milk or whatever. It's, you can't. If you have a teeny fraction of the protein from that specific food, you might excite the immune system. Like, we think of coronavirus, we think of the flu, you think of flying in an airplane, and everybody wears a mask because they know that that small piece of virus in the air can actually get in their body and replicate and cause a disease. Well, your immune system is designed to work at microscopic levels of protein exposure. So if you have a bite of a muffin, you've had millions of times higher the level that you needed to have an exposure. Well, hundreds of thousands of times higher. So it's like, wow, you don't really need much. So when you're gonna do the elimination diet, or you're gonna do food elimination, it's very important that you eliminate all of it.
Hi, it's Ted, taking a second to remind you that The Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for living a healthier life, and doctors who provide a personalized approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now back to our conversation. All right, Tom, this sounds well and good. What are the results of the elimination diet?
This is why I do what I do. To be honest with you, when a publisher said, "What do you need to write a book about?" I didn't hesitate. It blasted out of my mouth, the elimination diet. Because in my clinical practice and in functional medicine in general, I think we can all agree that the minute a person takes out some of the biggest irritants that they're consuming every morning, every afternoon, every late afternoon, every evening, that they're consuming all day long, that's insulting their immune system, they feel better. So I've seen people with 31 years of arthritic pain disappear. I've seen migraines disappear. I've seen people lose weight that they've not been able to lose in decades, all of a sudden peels off in 28 days. I've seen people who have had chronic fatigue for 10 years, they're on disability, they're seeing six specialists. All we do is change their diet, and within 12 days, boom, chronic fatigue is gone. So not everybody's case is gonna be like this, but there are hundreds upon thousands of people who it is like this. So I would say it's one of those things that's the foundations of functional medicine. You take the foods out that we know irritate the vast majority of people, you leave them out, you wait till the symptoms calm down, you add back in, and all of a sudden you have power in your healing process. You know what food is irritating you and which is nourishing you. So you have a choice on a daily basis. How do I want to feel today? Well, I want to feel fabulous. I'm going to eat like this. I know if I go out to that party, I know if I eat out, I know if I go to that drive-thru, I will feel like this. And then it becomes a place of power for you to decide, how do you want to live your life? You want to live it at an optimal level or a suboptimal level?
Well, let's just assume you might have one friend left at the end of your 28 days. Like, how many party invitations can I turn down in a row?
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that one bit. But then you say to yourself, okay, once I have that information, I know now when I go to a party, you know, what I can and cannot consume. So it's not going to be forever. It's a 28-day period, and then you add back things. You know, it's not forever. What it is, though, is an experiment. And I challenge you to get through just that experiment at least once in your life.
You know, we try to all live by the sword. And I think, you know, it's a challenge always when you're out with your family not to be raising one eyebrow all the time. Being a parent, they don't want to hear what you have to say anyways. But, you know, I think that people don't know how to cook. I mean, when I say to them, give me your list, I had 20 patients bring me in a picture of what $20 in vegetables look like. And I will say 19 out of 20 brought the exact same picture in. Two zucchinis, one pepper, one banana, some grapes, one head of lettuce, and that was it. I mean, we're very narrow what the perspective is of the rainbow plate.
And that's the thing. What I'm hearing from you is that society hasn't caught up with functional medicine yet, but it's on its way.
Yep.
So when I first started doing a gluten-free diet, for example, 20 years ago, imagine me walking into a grocery store and saying, "Hi, do you have any gluten-free products?" Most of the people are like, "What's gluten? What do you mean gluten-free? What does that mean?" And now, whether you go into a Whole Foods or a PCC or some chain anywhere, Albertsons, Safeway, whatever, they know what gluten-free means. So it's just a matter of time before there are less eyebrows that are raised up. If each person commits to their own health and they tell their story and they said, "Look, I gave it 110%. I totally stuck with it for my time period. I found out which foods work for me. Look at this. My skin looks fabulous. My joint pain is gone. My gut is calm. My energy level is through the roof. Hey, you should try this. And then it spreads like wildfire. But if we're all questioning it and saying, oh, I don't know if I could come, we never see the genius in it. So I say, look, try it or deny it. You either are in 100% or just don't try it. But what, when you're in 100%, magic happens.
Those poor generations 30, 60, 100 years ago that weren't aware of food allergies, right? They just had upset stomachs.
So there's aluminum is a great immune amplifier. It's in our food, it's in our toothpaste, it's in our shampoo, it's in the vaccines. Do you think aluminum could be one of the potentiators of our aggressive immune system response to what might not have been in place 60 years ago?
That is such an intelligent question. My gosh.
Well done, Pat.
God.
Yeah, the answer is yes, for sure. And you might want to check out the research by a gentleman by the name of Yehuda Schoenfeld. He's one of the most prolific researchers I've ever interviewed. We interviewed him as part of the Betrayal series that I was part of with Dr. Tom O'Brien.
Yep.
And so I was behind the scenes with interview questions and looking at all his data and research. And my goodness, I mean, the man is over 500 published articles and 60 textbooks and chapters all over the place. He's brilliant. And he's been going around to World Health Organization conferences and elsewhere and saying, hey guys, aluminum is a big concern. Yes, we use it as an adjuvant in vaccines to excite the immune response and get an immune, you know, titer elevation. But holy smokes, like it's contributing to autoimmune diseases. It's really changing how our immune system responds to the environment. And my goodness, it's not just aluminum. There are other things in the environment along with the, you know, aluminum. There are whatever, the other 74 billion pounds of chemicals that we're importing and producing. And we're seeing that BPA and phthalates and PCBs and dioxins and furans, a lot of the chemicals that are in our environment these days, even diesel exhaust, is altering our immune system function. And so, yes, we are now far more likely to react to foods and other things in our environment because of the chemicals that are interfering with regular immune function. So that's a brilliant question.
Tom, another great conversation, and dare I say, unless you guys are going to hit me with daggers, plenty of food for thought.
Oh, you must be a dad, because that was a dad joke. I love it.
That's great. Tom Moulter, co-founder of Whole Life Nutrition based in Bellingham, Washington, and co-author of three books with his wife, Allie, on functional medicine. Thanks for taking part in this conversation.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. You guys are doing great work out there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor, share it with your friends and family, and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.